Hey, what y'all doing here? Welcome to the Presence Family Night. Look at somebody say, "Welcome to the Presence." Well, we're gonna have a good time tonight. We're gonna have a little singing. Gonna have a little Bible study. The youth are gonna go. Youth and children are gonna go in the back. What a great way to kind of break up the week. Amen. Welcome those of you who are in-house, those of you watching live stream and on our Facebook page. Thank you for joining us tonight. Come on, everybody, stand on your feet. Come on, let's bless the Lord.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Open the eyes of my heart. Gonna say, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see. Yes, hallelujah. Now open the eyes of my heart. See you higher and up. We want to see you tonight.
I want to see
you. Oh, 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 oh.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to
see you high in the dark.
See you high in the dark.
make that your prayer tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you are near. Thank you, Lord, that you are here. God is moving by his Spirit, moving in all the earth. Thank you, Lord, that you are here. Thank you for your presence. There's nothing like your presence. There's nothing like your presence. We honor you tonight. We are here for you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you are here for us. May we tap into what you have for us tonight. Pray for our children. Pray for our youth, that you would bless them tonight, God. Strengthen them, God. May they have an encounter with you tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Thank you for our church. Thank you for the presence in Owosso. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you're filling this house with your presence, with your people and your provision. We honor you tonight. Be with us during the furtherance of this service. Bless those, God, that really are in desperate need of you tonight. And pray for those families and loved ones that have lost family members through these various tragedies across the country and world. May your peace be great. In the name of Jesus. Bless those in our own congregation who are battling sickness in their bodies. Strengthen them, God, in the name of Jesus. Touch your people. Touch your people. Touch your people, God. We honor you tonight. Be the center of our joy. Thank you for joy unspeakable and full of glory. Thank you for peace that passes all understanding. Hallelujah. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen and amen. Come on, let's say our affirmation prayer together. Father, I thank you that as I delight myself in you, you will give me the desires of my heart, because you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. I will not lose heart or give up, because I can do all things through you who strengthens me, and I will reap in my due season if I do not get weary in doing good. Father, I decree, according to 3 John 2, that in every area of my life I am prospering and I am in good health, even as my soul prospers. I am free from pain, sickness, and disease, and I walk in divine health. Therefore, now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it. With thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Come on, give God a praise right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll just take a moment and greet a few people, and we're going to dismiss our children and our youth. And Pastor Sanola is going to go back. She's got something special for the kids. I'm going to ask Ira if you'd go back there as well and just support and be the sergeant at arms if anybody acts up. All right. How's everybody doing? Marvelous, marvelous. You know, before we get into our just one verse, I want to give you a heads up. This is going to be announced Sunday, but because today is March 1st. Is today March 1st? Lord, is the year going by? It feels like we were just singing Christmas songs. But our you know how we do our Hide the Word memory challenge every month. So this month, and I again want to thank Mary Horton. She put these together all through the summer. Let me find it. Is it? Yeah, what's the verses? Isaiah 53:4-5. It's in the New King James. The New King James version is the version we're going to suggest that you. The New King James now is just like the King James. The main difference is they take out the these and the thous, so it reads a little more contemporary. Now, if you feel like it, the New King James takes out the holiness, because you know how we feel holy when we say thou and thee. But Isaiah 53 verses 4-5. So that's our memory verses for March. All right, y'all ready for our one verse? Ooh, this is going to be interesting. I'm just going to tell you right now. It's going to be interesting. You ready? All right. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. And I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it from the New American Standard Bible. New American Standard. Dad, you have the New King James? Okay. Hold. I'm going to have you read it. I'll bring the microphone to you here in a second. All right. So, 2 Corinthians 12, 9. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my what? Weaknesses, in, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. All right, so that's, Dad, read the, is that the New King James?
And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
All right. Who has another version? Let me get a microphone. One, two. We got NIV, all right.
Just nine. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.
All right. Somebody, what do you have, Steph?
The who?
Wait a minute, don't give it a microphone. No, I'm just kidding. That wasn't approved. No, I'm just kidding. Hold the microphone up so we can hear you. Lord,
I gotta find it.
Oh, Lord. She's holding it away from her face like that.
Okay. But he told me, my grace is enough for you, for my power is brought to perfection in weakness. Therefore, I am very happy to boast about my weaknesses in order that the Messiah's power will rest upon me.
All right. That's good. What do you have? What do you have, Kevin? That's what she had. Okay, common English.
And it said, he said to me, my grace is enough for you because power is made perfect in weakness. So I will gladly spend my time bragging about my weakness so that Christ's power can rest on me.
Good. So, and he said to me, we know that's Paul is talking about the Lord. All right, so here's the first thing that I want to just throw out. What is grace? Because that's where we start, okay? And we're gonna back up a couple of verses here in just a minute. But I want to kind of define, and I want us to understand what grace is. Now, when I was growing up in the church, anytime grace was talked about, it was defined as unmerited favor. All right? Anybody ever heard of that before? Unmerited favor. And that's totally correct. It's unmerited because we didn't deserve it, right? And so if you look up grace as it is in this verse, one of the words would be favor. And it's the favor of God. And the favor of God comes in a lot of different ways, right? Just like if I say, you know, I'm a hook you up. There's a lot of different ways that I could hook you up. I can give you money. I could, you know, give you a place to stay. I could take you out to eat. There's a lot of different ways that, you know, I could tell you to go down to so-and-so, and they, you know, I already told them about you. Just give them your name, you know, and favor gives you access, all right? So there's a lot of different ways that God can favor. Years ago, I preached a message years ago, and the title of it was Favor in Your Flavor. So the favor of God comes in ways that, first and foremost, he favored us unto salvation, okay? For by grace you have been saved through faith, all right? So unmerited favor. But in addition to that, similar to that, grace means goodwill. Goodwill. It also means loving kindness. And again, all of these you can put the word unmerited in front of it. Because we didn't deserve it, we didn't earn it. Right? And so it's God exerting his holy influence upon us in whatever way that it another way of thinking of it is the empowerment of God. I could take you to Stephen, I believe, in Acts, when I believe the word favor is used. It's an empowerment. It's an enabling. It's the anointing. It's the benefits of God in every way. I would say this would be under sort of the loving kindness and the goodwill. When you have been judged guilty, God's grace makes you innocent, right? So that's another form of grace. You know, all of that is intermingled. Okay. All right. So that said, let's get to the scripture. And he said to me, "My grace," we know what that is now, "is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness, most gladly." So that's the statement. "And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness." That's the part that Jesus said, that God spoke to Paul. Then Paul continues, "Most gladly, therefore, because of what God said, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me." All right. So now, you really have to read verses 7 and 8 to get the whole context of 9. So let me read verse 7. Before I read verse 7, let me just point out that, okay, this is Paul. Okay, this is Paul. Paul was a persecutor of the church, well-versed in Jewish tradition and all of that, Jewish teachings and all of that. Okay? But he was an arch enemy of those who were believing in Christ. And he was a persecutor of those. And he was on his way to on the road to Damascus to persecute more. And God accosted him. Paul had a life-changing experience on the road to Damascus. Life-changing. Life-changing. When you get knocked to the ground, you see a bright light and you hear a voice, and then, you know, and God is speaking to you saying, "What are you doing to my people?" Paraphrasing. He gets saved, and it just, you know, It would be similar to someone who is maybe an atheist or a Satanist who is now a believer in Christ. And so much so that people that knew Paul before he got saved wasn't sure. Right? So I just we really need that backdrop when you so he was very educated, he had a reputation, both good and bad. You know, and now in Christendom and missionary journeys and being persecuted, but he had a lot of success in ministry. So now he's saying in verse 7, and revelation. I mean, think about it. He wrote a great part of the New Testament. Huh? Yeah, what are you talking about? Yes. After he was converted, he wrote a great part of the New Testament. Okay, so now look at verse 7. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. To keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient. Now, you know... Man, I love verses like this because some of the things are you have to really read it because sometimes there's a lot of revelation if you just read a verse a little slower. So let's start here. Some of the more thorn in the flesh. Some of the more popular theories of the thorns interpretation. Include that the thorn was a temptation, it was a chronic eye problem. Some I've heard that he was like cross-eyed or something like that. Malaria, migraines, epilepsy, a speech disability. Some even say that the thorn refers to a person. How many of you ever had a person that was a thorn? Yes, Lord. such as Alexander the coppersmith, who did Paul, quote, a great deal of harm. And that's in 2 Timothy 4:14. Now, here's the deal. We can sit here all night and try to figure out what that thorn was, but we don't know. Now, I'm going to say this to you, that the reason we don't know is because if we did know, then if we didn't have that, we would say what I have is not a thorn. But the reality is, including the one speaking, and if you disagree, you're just too high and mighty for me. Everybody deals at one time in their life with a thorn. That's a mic drop right there. Everybody. And let me tell you this. If you think you don't, pride is your thorn. Ooh, I'm preaching, and it's just Wednesday. Lord, have mercy. All right. So with that said, while we do not know specifically what Paul's thorn in the flesh was, here's what we do know. And listen. Anytime you want to make a comment, just raise your hand. I'll open it up. I do have a couple of questions. But if you have a question or a comment, just raise your hand. We're free to discuss, okay? But here's what we do know. I love this kind of stuff. Okay. Number one, the thorn was allowed by God to keep Paul from getting the big head. And it was allowed, similar to some of the commentaries allude to Job, right? Because God gave Satan permission to buffet Job, and to, right, in this same way. All right? And here's a, just a few little things to consider. The thorn was something, let me say it this way. The thorn wasn't something that he had from birth. It's important. It wasn't something that he had from birth, because in verse 7 it says, because of the revelations that I've received. Not, see, he didn't receive no revelations before birth. So he was well into ministry. He was blowing and going. He had a lot of success. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, something hit him. Again, we don't know what it was, but we know that it wasn't from birth. And the reason why it's good to bring that out is because knowing that it wasn't from birth means that it wasn't something that was a birth defect, or something that he, you know, a physical thing that some might have from birth. You follow what I'm saying? Okay. All right. Here's one I really like. Listen real closely. It was something, quote, in, unquote, his flesh. Not something on his flesh. That's important, too. So read. Let me see. So, verse 7. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in my flesh. Not on. So it that could kind of eliminate sort of the physical, something physical. Although you know, we get physical ailments as we age. You know, I mean, it could have been some kind of a growth. Could have been. But I think it's good to know that Paul said it was something in his flesh, not on his flesh. All right. Which means it probably, what I mean is, what I'm trying to bring out is that it probably wasn't some kind of deformity. Right? It was, in Paul's own words, it was a weakness. Now, some versions, like the King James, I think, says infirmities, but when you look up the word infirmities also, it is defined as a weakness. Okay? That's important. That's important. Here's the other thing. Satan used this thorn to buffet, to harass, to torment Paul. And it was something Paul knew that God could take away. And the reason that's important is because, let's just say it was a missing limb or I don't really know, but it was something that Paul felt that God could take away quickly. I saw him three times. So it's something that a messenger from Satan, so it was something that came spiritually that could have manifested physically. Again, we don't know. I'm just giving you some thoughts to keep you up tonight. Here's a question. Why would Paul need God's grace if the thorn was a sickness? Because we think grace in terms of, you know, I have sinned, I need the grace of God to, right? Truthfully, no matter what is ailing you, you need the grace of God to get through it. A physical sickness, mental sickness, emotional sickness, you need the grace of God to get through it. So I'm not discounting the fact that it could have been some type of, you know, maybe he like Job, maybe he got boils or something. Maybe it was something like that. But I will tell you, the reason why I brought out the fact that Paul had, you know, what he went through from being on the road to Damascus, he had an encounter with God. It's sort of like David when he sinned. Now, David sinned with Bathsheba, and so he was very repented. Read Psalm 51, and you'll see. But here's the point that I'm making, and maybe it's just me, but it's okay. Let me preface it by saying this: we have four children, Michael, Tyree, Cambry, and Shannon. Okay, now they're all different, emotionally and how they react to discipline. Okay, now the one that we hardly ever had to really discipline with a belt was Cambry. All we had to do with Cambry is go to her and say, "We are so disappointed in you." Now, Michael, Tyree, Shannon, you need two and three belts before they. The point I'm making is that I've experienced this, okay? This is what I've experienced. I get convicted just by temptation. And I ain't done nothing. But just the thought that my mind went there for a minute. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is that for Paul, who had these great revelations, and God gives Satan the opportunity to send a messenger to buffet him and to harass him, quite possibly it could have been just a temptation that Paul just, it was so strong. Listen, hello, it was a thorn in the flesh. It doesn't mean that he actually sinned. It was a thorn in his flesh. So it could have been a weight. Lay aside every weight and. Every weight is not a sin, but every weight that is not dealt with can become a sin. Okay? So, it could have been just a strong desire that he just couldn't shake. Maybe he fell. Maybe he did sin. We just don't know. What we do know is that whatever it was, Paul didn't like it. And can I just say this to you? We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as long as you are hating just the thought of it, the less grace you will really need, right? Because in terms of forgiveness of sin, you'll sin less if you hate sin more. Okay? Woo! All right, who got something they want to ask us? Said a lot. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Good point. Yeah, I'm not going to say that goes without saying, because he wasn't getting revelations and all of that. This was Paul the, let's just call it like it is. This was Paul the pastor, Paul the bishop of the church. Who is dealing with something in his flesh. All right. What?
So the question is, what triggered that this attack came upon him? So what? Those verses above that, and we said God put this on him so he won't be braggadocious or whatever. So he's talking to them in the earlier verses here about he went to the third heaven. He didn't say it was him. He said, "I know a man," but he's talking about himself. And he got revelation that no man could know, right? So that could be the trigger there, because I'm sure he was warring it in his mind that I need to tell somebody. I got to tell somebody.
So you think the trigger was pride?
I think it was a little bit there.
So you think the thorn in the flesh was pride? So we going to try to figure out the thorn? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm just saying. No, I'm just what triggered it? Y'all don't know what I know.
So what's the okay, but that's kind of what opened the door. I don't disagree with that. Anybody else? Well, it says a messenger from Satan, but God allowed it. God, you know, was a worthy participant, but the thorn itself was a messenger from Satan. That's the way I read it. And so, I see it more as something intangible as opposed to something physical that you could see. Go ahead. It doesn't say. What it does say is that his grace is sufficient. Did the thorn make him weak? Yeah. That's a good question. Well, the thorn, I would say that the thorn made him feel like he was weak. Yeah. 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 Exactly. You know, we always talk about the temptation of Christ, right? He was tempted three ways. Help me. What ways were they? Pride of life. That was I'll give you all these kingdoms, right? What was the other one? Food. You know, yeah, bread. And what was the third one? What was the third one? No. What was the third one? No. What was the third one? What did Satan tempt him to do? Huh? To take his... Satan tempted Jesus to jump off of a cliff. Hello? Thank you. Jesus, the Son of God, was tempted in all ways like we are. Jesus was, y'all don't want to hear this, he was tempted to commit suicide. Yet, thank God for the yet, without sin. But he was tempted. Yet he never sinned. I want you to hear this because it's so important, because the devil plays tricks with your minds. When you're tempted, you haven't yet done anything wrong. But if you let that tempting carry you away, right? But simply being tempted is not a sin. You just got to check that thing right away. Ah, no! Right? And so, you know, for someone at his level, I think in his thinking, for someone at his level to even be tempted in that way, this had to be something stronger than he had ever dealt with. In whatever it was, it made him feel weak. Took him off his game, maybe. You know? In his weakness. Yes. Yes. So... How is God's strength made perfect in our weakness? How is God's strength made perfect in our weakness? I use this, and you have a couple of ideas. Feel free. I use this verse this past Sunday. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Submitting to God, just yielding to him. yielding to him in every area of your life, even the things that you, some things you feel you can control, but some things you can't. And this thing for Paul, he couldn't do it. Whatever it was, you know, he couldn't take a pill for it, right? He asked God 3 times. And so cast your cares on him, 1 Peter 5 and 7. When we yield to God completely, when we yield to God completely, God's strength helps us to endure our weaknesses. You know, the Bible says, endure hardness as a good soldier. So there are some things that are going to be hard. So we have to yield it to the Lord. God, I yield this to you. And so the more you realize that you can't do anything in your own strength, that's another way of saying weakness, the more you realize that, the more you give that to God, the more you give yourself to God. God, I don't know what to do. I'm just giving it to you. Take one day at a time. This is weird. I don't even know how to deal with this. That's when God's strength becomes more real to you. Because it's a surrendering. It's a surrendering of that weakness to God. That's really what you have to do. Let me say it this way. We can't truly know God's sufficiency until we are willing to accept our own insufficiency. We can't truly tap into his all-sufficient grace until we are really willing to realize that we in and of ourselves, we're just insufficient. Now, here's another thought. This is something I just thought about. Paul had this thorn in the flesh. Messenger of Satan, God allowed it. Prayed to God 3 times, didn't happen, nothing happened. And Paul is dealing with this, whatever it is, the temptation, whatever. It's something that he's dealing with. And guess what? God ain't tripping. That should tell us something, that when we are battling something in our lives, when we are just in it, I mean, it's difficult, it's hard. God ain't standing over us. Come on, you can do better than that. Come on, weakling. What did I send my son here for if you're going to be like that? My grace is sufficient. I think, this is my personal opinion. I don't think we really understand the magnitude of God's grace. If we really did, we wouldn't put ourselves in time out after we messed up. Even after we asked God for forgiveness. I ain't going to church. And God is saying, what? My grace. Now, here's the flip side. Go to Romans. Where is it, Dad? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Right? So but here's the point. You don't get to say when the grace is over. You don't get to say. As long as you know in your heart that you are not, you know, continuing to sin just because you know that God is going to grace you. Now, that's a dangerous place to be. All right? And so, look, I know I'm not there. I'm scared of God. I always felt like that one time that I sinned, that's when the rapture's going to come. I'm going, dang it! One too many. God's grace is so sufficient. It is so sufficient. It is so sufficient. I would venture to say that 9 times out of 10, or even 10 times out of 10, when you're beating yourself up, you have not even begun to tap into the grace of God. Yes, go ahead. Okay, stop talking. Stop talking. We're bringing the microphone to you. Okay, go ahead.
This is the new analytical study edition.
Okay.
And here it's just in it's something that just reiterates what you were saying. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me.
Yeah.
At least I should be exalted of measure. So God allowed me to give him that thorn in his flesh.
Yes. Yeah. And you know what? As I was reading it, I mean, because I've been in church all my life. I've seen a lot of stuff in church leadership. I'll just put it that way, in church leadership. And I will just say, I wish some of these, we need a lot more thorns in the church. I'll just put it, just need a lot more. We need some more thorns. All right? Yes. Buffet, harass. How many of you ever felt just harassed and you know, sometimes, you know, it quite possibly the thorn in the flesh was simply the torment of the devil. It's just, you know, not necessarily that it was a temptation, but just the torment. I can't identify with that, but some people probably can. I mean, you know, mental issues. Maybe it could have been a mental issue or a spiritual issue, but something that just messed with his mind. What if every night he had nightmares? Just, you know, evil, just, and he couldn't sleep. That's the tormenting of the devil. What if he had thoughts of suicide? We don't know. Smoking. Or drinking. Or overeating. Said, no, overeating. All right, so this coming Sunday, I want everybody to make a sign. Put it right here on your chest that has your thorn on it. Everybody, no, I'm just kidding. No, this is all good. Yes, Gary. You got something.
I mean, when people are going through infirmities or whatever that case may be, and you are praying for deliverance,
yes.
Are we going to the doctor? We're doing all those things because that's our natural instinct to try to survive.
Yep.
And there's not a whole lot of thought when we're not getting delivered. We think God is absent from us and he's not hearing us. So we're not thinking like Paul, I'm weak so he can be strong. Yeah. We just weak and we want to be well. Is that not true? I mean, yeah.
That's so dealing with
the struggle's real.
Yes.
Are you trying to tell us to be like Paul in those cases?
Well, you just kind of mentioned like an infirmity, yes?
Whatever that thing is, though, that's got you bound, so to speak.
So what? Are you asking me? Am I saying are we supposed to should be like Paul?
To glean from this.
Yo, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I just think sometimes we make things so very difficult. We make them so difficult. Because we want to be able to process it in our head, right? But the reality is we can't process the grace of God. Because the grace of God basically says, I'll just use this as an example. You just did something terribly wrong. And again, we don't really know if it's something that Paul did wrong. Maybe he was thinking about it. It could be, we don't know what it was. But if I, the grace of God covers it all. The grace of God covers, that's what Christ, God sent his son to cover us. So the grace of God through Jesus Christ covers all of that. It's sort of like, your question, here's what your question sounds like. So I committed, I was on death row. Not death, death. I was on death row. And somebody, life, you're deaf, and somebody came and came to my cell and opened it up and said, you're free to go. And some of y'all would do just like that. Huh? What you mean? You're free to go. You're not guilty anymore. You've been totally exonerated. You mean I ain't got to stay here all for life? Nope. You're totally. And you're still standing there trying to figure out, well, how did it happen? Good. We will never be able, right? So. Right. You'd be looking like, So are you a bad person because you're sick and you have prayed and you can't get well? No. Are you weak in faith? No. Make sure that you're submitting to God. Make sure that you're submitting to God, keeping your heart in the right place, submitting to God. And I waited patiently for the Lord. That's what the word. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He heard me, and He delivered me. You have to believe that you will see the goodness of the Lord. That's what you have to believe. Sometimes it takes a moment. You know what? Listen, I know it's time to go. What kind of God would hear that somebody is sick, get word that they're sick, come and pray, Lazarus, and wait until they die to go to town? Because God knew something about what was going on in Lazarus that nobody else understood. God knows something about what you're going through. He knows something about your sickness. He knows something about everything that you're going through. He knows something about it. And if you hang with him, if you submit to God, you'll be better for it on the other side of it. So. Ooh, come on, ask it, Chelsea. Very good. Yep. Yeah. Very good points. It helps to keep us grounded. Helps to keep us grounded. Right? How many of you, if you won the lottery tomorrow, look at your tickets now. If you won the lottery tomorrow, billions of dollars, well, most of y'all, and you had a job, let's say you had a job, would quit your job the next day. Raise your hand if you would quit your job. All right, so here's the point. Blessing, and for Paul, revelation changes you. Okay? Preach a few good messages, sing a few good songs. Oh, I got this. No, you don't. Thorn. That's why you need it. That's why you need it. Okay? So that's He wasn't mad at Paul. He knew, listen, God, man looks on the outward appearance. God's looking at your heart. If your heart is right and right before the Lord, we're not perfect. We're going towards perfection. But if your heart is right, your heart is in the right place, you can't go wrong. You may do some wrong, but you ultimately you're gonna make your way back to God. That's yes, ma'am. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Why what? What? That's then. We're talking about when he was going through this. He wasn't mad at him here. We're talking about when Paul, this is, yeah, talking about afterward. Come on, man. That's your thorn right there. This is good. This is good. Anybody else before we pray? Yes, ma'am. Well, here's the thing. There are a lot of different scenarios. Well, it doesn't have to be physical. It doesn't have to be physical. Every situation is different, so we can't. I don't want to get too deep into it. But
yeah. That are in situations that's not good, but they're still leaning on sufficiency.
Yeah, there's a couple of directions I could go with that. That is referred to in Scripture when Paul, I think Paul talks about the believing wife and the unbelieving husband, right? So that's that scenario where the wife, the suggestion is that she continue to be holy and her holiness and her relationship with God will result in the salvation of her husband. So there's a whole lot in there. Okay, now any type of abuse that is detrimental or hurtful or that you know you don't stay in those situations. So, well, no, I'm not talking about just mental, emotional. There's a lot of different types of abuse. So, I don't want to get too deep into it, but God gives you grace. And he also gives you wisdom, right? So, all right. Woo! It's good stuff. I think next week we're just going to do John 3:16. That's it. Y'all, for God's a little world. No, it's like I saw this. I have a list of most popular verses, in the Bible, and that's kind of where we're starting. And so when I came to this one, I was like, ooh. I like those kind. Ooh. I'm just going to tell y'all better get ready. I'm going to talk about, the Bible talks about drinking. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about women being silent in church. We're going to talk about that. Tamla said, we ain't going to be silent. See, that's your problem right now. No. Oh, y'all so crazy. So crazy. All right. Well, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for joy. Thank you that we can come together and understand the seriousness of your word, but never lose our joy. And I pray for those tonight who may be dealing with some type of a situation where they feel buffeted or harassed or even tormented by the enemy. God, first of all, you know what's happening. And I pray, Lord, that your grace would be sufficient and that you would speak to them, even as you spoke to Paul. Reassure them that they are in your will and that you are with them. Give them peace in the midst of the storm. Give them joy unspeakable and full of your glory. May they not lean unto their own understanding, but in every way acknowledge you, and you will direct their paths. And that doesn't mean just geographically or where they go physically. Direct their mental paths. Direct their emotional paths. Direct how they travel mentally and emotionally. Direct them, God. We pray against the wiles of the devil. We resist the devil in the name of Jesus, and he has to flee. Devil, you have to flee. So I command you to loose your hold off of God's people. In Jesus' name, thank you, God, for those who have been abused, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, by others. God, I pray for healing, pray for restoration, and God, give them wisdom on how to navigate that situation, God. Ultimately, you desire for us to be healthy, happy, and holy. And so may we all experience that. And give us the ability to endure hardness as good soldiers. And we thank you for it. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these awesome people tonight. You are so good. May we be encouraged by what we have shared tonight and what we experienced. And may we all know and always remember that your grace is sufficient. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lift those hands toward heaven. I give you the blessing found in Deuteronomy 1 and 11. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000-fold more than you are and bless you, just as he has promised you. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday.